Fantastic. Really good to see you. Good to be with you. Thank you for coming. And I'm Richard, and I do a few things around this place, including the occasional sermon and bringing a message. But I'm wearing a proud poppy today. For those who were not born here, or even the young ones that were, I want to encourage you to learn and jump online and find out about Anzac Day. Anzac Day, along with Waitangi Day, would be our two most important days as a nation. And in fact, we have an extraordinarily proud history with Anzac. In fact, New Zealand gave more young people died per capita than any other nation. Did you know that? Amongst them were indeed the Māori Battalion, who were the most noted for their bravery and their acts of courage, and most of them carried a New Testament right there in their pocket, in their leg. If you want to learn more, and I actually think it's an obligation, if I may be honest, to know something about Anzac Day. Who would like to tell me what Anzac stands for and you're not born in New Zealand? Anyone know? Who knows what Anzac stands for? Can you shout it out? Australia, New Zealand, Army Corps. Please avail yourself tomorrow. Try hard to get to a parade. If you want to learn something about the history and what makes Kiwi, Kiwi, what makes New Zealand, much of its cultural fabric is wrapped up in Anzac Day. And you'll find out what makes this great nation great, which is why you came to live here. So I encourage you to get on out there and learn. I think too many people don't understand the nation and the history, so that'd be great. But it's good to have you here. That's just my little plug. I tell you, it's a bit of an effort, but once I get there, my goodness, it's very moving to see people leaving a country for a cause, leaving, saying goodbye. Can you imagine saying goodbye to loved ones? 18, 19, 20, never to see them again, knowing that you're probably not going to make it home. Giving blood for a cause, for freedom. Reminds me just a little bit of Jesus Christ, how he left his home and came and made the ultimate sacrifice. And although we enjoy the freedoms of today, we're still locked up in bondage to sin and slavery to the lusts of men and women. So the war rages on, ladies and gentlemen. We don't fire bullets anymore, but I want to tell you, there's a raging war for your soul today. And the enemy is active and he will not relent, he will not hold back until he gets you. And so I encourage you today, we live in wartime, not peacetime. We celebrate our history, but also realize this, we are engaged in war. Can you give me an amen? Amen. Well, today is super special for me, and I hope it's super special for all of us. The next two Sundays, we're going to take some time to stop and reflect. At the beginning of the year, we began a series called about the power of God. Then we got into a series called CrossFit, which is about spiritual disciplines, reading the Bible, just encouragement, about prayer and about giving. Just every year you've got to touch on those areas to remind us the power of the Word of God and the availability of prayer. And from there, we moved on to the next series, which was Dare to Believe. Can you remember that? Jehoshaphat and all these guys with these really long names and long beards. It looked at audacious faith. Then we went into a series called Past Perfect, which I thought was really cool, not because I had delivered it, but because of the content, the understanding they were able to bring about seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. And if you remember, Hannah and Hope Milo did that incredible presentation looking at Jesus throughout the Bible. Can you remember that? Wasn't that great? And then just last week, we finished a series about money. Money and me. Something I prefer not to talk to, but it's very necessary. And it looks at money and how it has a way of wrapping around the heart. And so we try to make an effort to deliver a variety of topics that are felt needs, and some that are more devotional, some that are more teachy. We have a variety of teaching. And so there's always something there for someone each week. We want to build strong, well-founded, knowledgeable, powerful believers. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are powerful. But each time around this time, every year around this time, we do need to take just a few Sundays to really stop and what I call vision and values. Roughly 10% of our sermons are designated to be really looking forward, because it's just not okay to have people come for a period of time and not realize what we're trying to target, where we're going, what has happened in terms of direction, because it's not just a matter of random meetings, but there's actually planning involved and there's prayer involved, because we have a task to do. And so today we begin 2 weeks, a series called Great. Have you noticed how life can become very cyclical, very, very much like a cycle? Back in the days, I had vinyl. Anybody remember vinyl? I mean, I know they bring it out now for the old clubs, you know, but I mean, no, actually before CDs, there was a thing called vinyl, and your little needle would gather dust, and it would occasionally just get stuck in a track, and it would go around and around and around, a little bit like the hamster in the wheel, just going around and around and around, and you wonder, what's this all about? Life can be like that. My alarm goes sometimes at 6, sometimes at 7, sometimes earlier, and I get out of bed in the same routine. I go to the bathroom. We won't talk about that this morning. Then I usually go off and I set the jug and I boil the jug. I go to the lounge, I turn on my granny lamp, and beside my granny lamp is my Bible. I get the coffee, because I find coffee and God, they go together. Because I've figured something, God likes coffee. And I can't get with God unless I've got coffee. Or maybe it's God that can't get with. Anyway, it's a little idol in my life, and please forgive me, I'm trying to overcome it. Every man's got to have his vices, you know. It used to be something else. And so, here's my routine. I read through the Word, and I pray, and this happens most days. Occasionally I can't for different reasons. Then we go and have a bit of breakfast. These days it's a NutriBullet, raw food. You know, raw food is good for you. You know, worms and soil and all the stuff thrown in there, it's good for you. You put a big smile on trying to enjoy it. Then we go and take a shower and we get ready and I get on my gorgeous motorbike and off we go. And then we come home. When my boys were younger, we had our full routine. Dinner was at this time and it was change of clothes and it was bedtime stories, roughies and wrestles, and then we got them into bed with a few prayers. And then you lie back at 8 o'clock at night and wonder, where's my life gone? The cycle just keeps on going. Does anybody identify with that? Right now we're at a new cycle. Often these nights we're on our own, believe it or not. Or maybe one or two around. And every week we've got those cycles, and every month we pay the bills, and every Sunday we leave at 10:15 for a 30-minute drive to church. It was supposed to be a joke. Life can become a cycle. Repetitious little routines, and if we don't connect it to the bigger picture, it can become meaningless. My fear is that in church we can go through the routines and not appreciate how it's connected to the bigger picture. It's good to take time to stop and reflect. We often have those moments forced upon us, things like Sabbath. God gave us that to stop and reflect. Birthdays, anniversaries. Recently we had to say farewell to Monique's father. Funerals are moments where we stop and reflect. Anniversaries, holidays. I love to get away up to my beloved Kaiwi lakes and pitch a tent and grow a beard and hide from everybody and pretend I'm John the Baptist. Getting out of the rat race, usually I stop. Have a fresh appreciation for family, fresh appreciation for the gorgeous country we live in. But what really matters, and you don't have those moments, you can look back and go, where has the time gone? It's important to stop and reflect. It's important to realize what's important. And as a church, it's exactly the same. We need to stop and reflect and ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Intelligent question, isn't it? Why did you even come this morning? Why do we spend thousands of dollars subsidizing a camp Why do we dedicate children? I've often thought it might be good to do a series one day, just going through the things we do in church and why, and why, and why. But today, we want to step back and look at why we do what we do. And because the church is the hope of the world, we are Jesus on the planet. Because we're the bride of Christ, how much more imperative is it that we stop and we reflect and we plan and we recalibrate where we are going? Because randomness is not okay when souls hang in the balance. So I stopped. I reflected. I actually did. Very busy. Full calendar. Strategically using my time. Turn it off, put it away, and just thought about the last 12 months. I thought about all kinds of special moments, one-on-one conversations I've had or you've had with someone. Just out here, we've had baptisms, freedom weekends, prophetic, people getting healed, marriages, things happening all over the place. I thought about our community ministry, 412. Led by our dear friends in Fanmalia. And the growing number of young people that are able to speak life into. The sports camp and the prophetic night with Fire Ray and Kinetti from Southside. I thought about that. I thought about our connect groups and how I hear so many stories of people feeling like a belonging. That I look different to you, but I feel family right here. A place to talk and to share and to listen and to pray and to be encouraged. And many people have come to Christ through it. I thought about the impact of our campus mission, our ministry called Every Nation Campus and how it's right there, reaching future leaders. And as I did, ladies and gentlemen, my dear family, I had a fresh realization of God's generosity to us in the last 12 months. I actually got on my knees and I worshipped him. Because you have to realize something. We can't do any of that. It's only God that can move the heart. It's only God that can cause a person who's got hatred to forgive. It's only God that can do this. We create environments like this, but unless God shows up, it doesn't happen. So many lives being touched. Hearts being healed. Lives and marriages being liberated from past mistakes. You may not have the privilege of my vantage point where I tend to hear about this. I equally get enough problems, by the way. You wouldn't hear about those either, but I put all that aside and the issues that need to be dealt with, and usually I've caused half of them, but taking the time to celebrate and go, God, you are just so good. You are great. You're marvelous and you're magnificent. Who could do what you do? My heart was filled with gratitude and wonder. I was trying to think, when do I normally feel like that? And the only thing I could come up with, or the most poignant moment, is when each of my children had been born. Not usually at the moment because it's all a bit yucky and a bit. But often I have this wonderful memory of usually the next morning, you know, rocking up after a good night's sleep with your flowers to your wife and this precious baby who's been cleaned by that stage. A few creases have been removed. Maybe they shot some Botox in there. I don't know what happened. But they always look nicer the next day. And really being speechless. I know the biology of it. I know the science of it. I'm expecting it. We've been building up to this moment. But this depth of feeling of wonder and gratitude, quickly followed by a sense of inadequacy of being a dad. But God's blessing. That's how I felt about that. And all I could say is, great is the Lord. Great. Are you, Father? Great. David says it this way in Psalm 145. He says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Moses, he sang it like this in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. He says, "Who is like you, Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders?" You'll find every author of the Bible may not use the word great, but they're captivated by God's greatness. And so at a time when I would normally cast vision, and we'll say, "Thanks be to God, amen," and move on, like those rugby players, you know those rugby stars? The guys that have the, you know, they've got the cross on the binding, and they get to the end, they score the try, and they go like this, and they point to the Lord. Then they're dropping F-bombs in the changing room and getting caught for drunkenness in the papers. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be casual and fleeting in our honor of God. See, honor comes from the heart, not from the lips. And as I began to prepare and we're cultivating what we can do to stimulate, what can we do to have everybody on the edge of their seats, leaning forward, salivating, waiting for the next plan, wanting to fully invest themselves, fizzing and popping on the inside, excited. What can we do to do that? Well, hopefully we'll do some fizzing and popping next week. But today, as I thought about it, but God, can we just spend the whole day loving on you? Can we spend this day bragging on you? Yes. Lord, I want to not just say, "Thanks be to God," some religious act, and then move on into grandiose plans, but actually reserve time to forget about our felt needs. You see, most of our sermons, when we choose them, we're trying to address felt needs in our hearts. But today, it's not about our felt needs. It's about God Almighty. It's about His greatness. It's about His kindness. It's about His generosity, His relenting, extreme, and radical outpouring of goodness in our lives. The very next breath that you have, ladies and gentlemen, is because of God. Our jobs, our marriages, our children, our lives, it's because of God. We should be living in another religious country. I want to tell you something if you know your history. We should be Islamic or Taoist. We should not be Christian. We were the last nation. God hid us behind the great white cloud, waiting for the missionaries to come to Christianize and colonize this nation. That's God's goodness, His faithfulness, His outpouring on this land. We call it God's zone. We still honor Jesus at prayer in Parliament, then pass laws that Jesus would never pass. It's like the rugby player. Lips, no heart. But today, it's all heart. In this house, it's all heart. So today, I simply want to honor God. Honor Him with everything. I wonder what you might think is the most important thing we do in church. Well, Pastor, it's worship. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Worship. Most of us relegate that to songs, of course, but worship, that's what we are. Oh, no, Pastor. It's teaching the Word of God. It's all about the Word. Missions, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, we can even quote it. Is that even the most important thing? Before you answer the question, I want you to check out or think about a church in Revelation, the church found in Sardis. God says to the church, He says, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive." Get this, "but you are dead." That's harsh. Pastor Jesus said you're dead. He says you're alive. You have a name, actually, He says. You have a name in the community for being alive. Everyone speaks highly of you. You've got programs. You've got dry ice coming out. You've got music of the choice, that contemporary sound, that ability to connect. It's party. The numbers are growing. We now can buy property. We've got everything going, and everybody thinks it's alive. But Jesus says you are dead. How could we get to that kind of place? How could you even grow a church? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing we do is honor God. You can have children's programs, you can have songs, you can have life skills and teaching of the Bible, but if your heart is not to honor God, it is dead. Honoring God is the first thing. It's the beginning. It's the starting line. It's the plumb line. We measure everything again, and it's the finishing line. It's all about honoring God, our heart to honor God. Can you give me an amen? It's about honoring Him. It's the most important thing we do. To honor is to respect, to have holy fear, to have esteem and reverence for Him. That's why, you can't see it here, but we don't have what is commonly known as a vision statement. We've gone away from that language because there's so much confusion around mission and vision, and places have all kinds of statements. We simply have, who are we and what do we do? And the what do we do starts out this way. We honor God by planting churches that reach campuses and communities in New Zealand and the South Pacific. It begins with we honor God. That's the ultimate heart motivation. We might not get everything right. We may not execute it very well. But our intention, our heart, is to honor Him and Him alone. Every nation, Auckland Central, we will always seek to honor God first. We will always seek to please Him first. And sometimes that does not mean we please each other. But we must pursue pleasing Him first. For He is the great King. He is the great healer. He is my great friend. He is the one who saved us. He is the one who put confidence where there's no confidence. He was the one that brought security when our parents bred insecurity inside of us. He is the one. He is great. He is magnificent. He's to be adored. He's to be worshipped. He, God. Can you imagine if we determined in our hearts to honor Him in everything that we did? Our speech, our conduct, our relationships, our finance, our time, our entertainment, our bodies, our work, and our studies. Imagine what would happen in this place if we are determined in our heart for the sole purpose of honoring God. Imagine if all of us arrived here for the purpose of honoring God fully and completely. Can you imagine what would happen? I don't think it will matter whether we play your favorite song or whether the sermon teaches me something new. I believe it won't even matter whether it's just the spoons and we sing that same old song again. If the heart is set on honoring Him, ladies and gentlemen, it will be alive. It will respond. It will do what it needs to do. It will find a way of expression. Can you imagine a service just like that? We're all here, ready, combined, one family to honor God. Oh, that's what I long for. You know, honor is an almost extinct virtue in the 21st century. The honoring of parents, honoring of authority, honoring of one another. And yet we watch the movies, the big screens are full of movies where we see courage and sacrifice. We see this virtue called honor in our stories and they pull tears and they captivate our heart. But when it comes to our own lives, we struggle to find it. Honor. Let's be a people of honor. Let's not just look at on the screen, our favorite movie. If you look at all the blockbusters of history, I challenge you, you will find honor as a thread all the way through the plot because we like to see it. We love hearing. I love hearing about Anzac soldiers going for the honor of country and king. Sacrifice grabs my heart and it makes me, what am I doing here on the planet? We love it. But do we live it? Or today, we honor God. There's one man who understood the greatness of God. And a man who not only understood the greatness of God, but his response to that was honor. And it was King Solomon. And if you've got your Bibles, if you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. And I want to set the scene for you here. 1 Kings chapter 8, if you go there, that'll be fantastic. Now, Solomon received instructions from his father, David, the guy who killed Goliath. His father, Dave, said to Solomon, I want you to build a temple for God. And it's going to be grand. And it's going to be beautiful. And specific instructions were downloaded to Solomon. The length, the breadth, the height, the way it should be furnished. It was extravagant. It was to be a house, a place where God Almighty would come and reside in the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. He built this temple. I want you to get an idea of how big it is. It took 7 years to build. It took 30,000 Israelites and 150 Canaanites. That's a staff of 180,000 people working for 7 complete years to make this one building. And it was finished. And Solomon ordered for the furnishings to come in. Now it was time for the Ark of the Covenant where the Spirit of God resided. And in came the Ark and it sat in the Holy of Holies. And they had their ribbon-cutting ceremony. And King Solomon, he gave a speech, a long speech. And then he came before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all of Israel. You can just picture the scene. And he knelt down in prayer. And he lifted his arms towards heaven. And he prayed a prayer of dedication. It was a long prayer, 31 verses of prayer. Thankfully, it was not grace before Sunday lunch. It was a 31-verse prayer. And then he says this, and he says this to the people once he'd finished praying. He stood in verse 59, and he says this, catch it. He says, and may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may, get this, maintain the cause of his servant, Solomon, and the cause of the people of Israel as each day may require. Maintain the cause. You see, Solomon was concerned that it's such a grand thing in the daily living of life, they might lose sight of what the cause is. They might lose sight. May he and the people of Israel not forget the cause, what this is all about. And the next question must be on our lips. What is the cause, Solomon? And he leaves this not for speculation. The very next verse says, here is the cause. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. Let all the people know that there is no God and there is no other. His heart was heaven sent, heaven bent on elevating, honoring God himself. Let this all be known. The ultimate cause is about the fame and the glory of God. God our maker, God our Father in heaven. Is anybody hearing me? Solomon understood the honor of God was the cause and the ultimate cause. That is so personally and for us as a church family. Whether it's our Sunday celebrations, our connect groups, our ministry to the community, private conversation, campus ministry, whatever we do, the one thing that's paramount and the one thing we must always check our hearts is that we're honoring God. Great is the Lord! Can you say that after me? Great is the Lord. Say it again. Say it again. Are you hearing it, Father? Say it again. Tell your neighbor and the other neighbor. He is great and magnificent. Oh, lady, are you hearing this morning? I hope our hearts are not filled with contempt and entitlement. I wonder if those could be the words on your lips every morning. God, you're just so great. Yes, I've got some prayer requests over here. Yes, I've got some things that really I'm struggling with. But you're great. You are great. So, what does that look like practically? It's been a real challenge for me this morning. There's a lot of effort gone into this. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. I'm not sure some of you know it and believe it. Forgive us, Father, for being so selfish and so indulgent. Forgive me, Lord. Place within us an accurate perspective of who we are and who you are, what you've done. You know, in the construction of the temple, God gave some very special and specific measurements that Solomon had to build. God's not random. He's very particular. He chose the color of your hair and the height that you were. God's very comfortable with measurements and numbers. In fact, they're very important. They help us remember what's really important, like anniversaries. Oh, it's the 7th of May. It's my anniversary. Richard, too late to buy a present. You should have done it yesterday. Here are some numbers. Here are some measurements from the last 12 months. Here is a practical manifestation of God's goodness in our church. There are just a few. There's a lot more. Every story is important and glorifying God. But the first one, this last 12 months, God has brought 12 brand new members into our church family. Sorry, 60. My apologies. It's usually 12 per batch. In the last 12 months, 60 people. Most will be here today, but usually we've got around about 60 to 80 away every Sunday for a variety of reasons. Some will be away. But God has added. You okay, love? God has added 60 brand new church members to our family. We've had 19 water baptisms. Our connect groups. The attendance of our connect groups has grown 13%, 1-3. We've got some work to do because our Sunday celebration, we get a count. And the average last year versus, or the average last year versus the year before versus this last year, the growth is 41%. Our attendance has gone up from average 142 to 200. Recently, we've been breaking 220, 230, 240. That's 41% growth. We can't do that. That's God. And I'm always interested to see what's happening in Kids Church because they're the future. Kids Church have grown at a greater rate than adult church. The 41% is for the whole church. But if we were just to look at children, they've grown by 54%. Some of it's birth, but most of it is families coming into our church. But the most precious measurement that I wanted to show, and we had a video created for it, so we'll show it some other time, because I didn't want you just to see a number. I wanted you to see names, and behind every name is a story, and there's a family, and there's a whole lineage of people. People who have chosen Jesus to be Lord and Savior. At least 77. Some we don't know about. And very unfortunately, we've not captured the numbers of children who may have asked Jesus into their heart. I know there's been 3 or 4. We're going to change that this year and make sure we get those numbers because they are important. Just as important. 77 people chose to follow Jesus. They're not all with us in this church because some have been connected to other churches. And that is cool with me, provided they teach the Bible and the Spirit of God is there. But some also, very sadly, are backslidden, which is not cool. And we continue to pray for them. I want you to know the parables of the seeds. When God puts a seed in a heart, thorns sometimes grow up. Rocks can be there. Things can happen. We hope that always our seeds land on good soil, but not always. And the door is always open, and to use the analogy of in faith, the table is always there. There's always there's room at the table for everybody. Knife and fork and spoon, there's some food there. We must also, if I may, I didn't have this on the script, but if people go wayward and they start to return, love on them. Don't believe the worst. I want people to know the door's always open. No gossip, no subject, just love and receive them. Can we do that? Because I think it's one of the most challenging. I've had a few conversations lately. People making mistakes, they go and try and figure themselves out, try to make themselves perfect before they come here. I says, you don't have to do that with Jesus. This is not for perfect people. This is for broken people. Come. We'll talk about you. We'll help you get back on track. Come. 77. That warm your heart. 77 people. Of which a whole group of them were not here 12 months ago. But they're here. And there are stories scattered throughout this auditorium of making Jesus Lord. Only God can do that. I wish we could change hearts. And it seems to me the harder we try, the more resistant people will be. It's got to be the Spirit of God. It's got to be the Spirit of God, not our sales technique. Although we could work on our skills, but ultimately it's God who convicts people. It's God who leads people to faith and they cross the line. It's God. We can do nothing more about it. And if God would see fit to bring us 77 people at least and make them a part of our family and bring them into this place, I say, thank you, God. You are great. Let's get busy finding the rest. So to make sure that it's not just a number, I wanted to pluck one of those names off the screen, and I want you to hear his story, his testimony, that we might glorify God, because he is, God is great. And I would love to invite down here Polini Jr. Chuling. Come on, Polini. PJ, that's you, buddy.
Hi everyone and Talofa. Talofa Lava. My name is Paleni Junior Juling. I was born and raised the island of Samoa, beautiful island of Samoa. I come from a family of 6. I got 4 brothers and 2 sisters. Which one of my sisters just recently passed away. My world turned upside down when I was 17. When my father died from diabetes. And two years later, my mom passed away from a stroke. Ever since then, I was on the run. I ran away from reality. Dropped out of school. I dropped out of school, got into drugs, girls, smoking, The list goes on. I was never home. I had the freedom to do anything I wanted. No guidelines, no boundaries. I got into a relationship with a girl, and she fell pregnant. My family from New Zealand found out, and they sent me here with one of my brothers. I thought it was just a short visit, but little did I know my family got a plan for me, that I'm going to stay here permanently and look for a better future. Months went by. My ex went back and stayed with her family and had my son. There's not one day I don't think about him. And I do pray that God one day that his mother will forgive me so I will be able to have a relationship with my son. Now, here in New Zealand, I found work and do what a normal Kiwi bloke will do, play rugby and drink in the weekend. I met Rissa in one of the clubs in New Lynn and was all downhill from there. She's beautiful, mature, and wonderful girl. We were dating for over a year, and then we blessed with our beautiful little boy, Damien. I was so happy to be a dad, finally. And I vowed that I would do anything to keep us together. So Rissa went to an Easter service with Damien just to eat free Easter eggs. And met up with Pastor Richard. 2 weeks later, that conversation, she gave her life at the back of the car, for the back of her cousin's car. Coletta, Brenda, and Helen, to I were through the prayer of salvation with her. Rissa knew that we're living in sin and make big decisions to move out of our apartment in 2011 and live her new life with Christ. We live apart, but I would always try to find a way to come back home. I missed my son. I missed her a lot, but didn't understand why she made the decisions. After plenty of fights and arguments, I left her alone. I started to live my own secret life that she didn't know about. Tried to fulfill void again with pointless things. I was never satisfied. Girls, alcohol, pornography, the list goes on. Last year in January 2015, I started to get a lot of pains in my head. Anxiety, heart palpitation, and panic attacks. I was in and out of the hospital many times. I took 1 month off work to find what was wrong with me. The doctors diagnosed me with depression, gave me a script, and was sent off on my way. It was a struggle for me daily to function. I slept most of the day and woke up in a panic. My driving was also affected. In one of my panic attacks, I rang Rissa and she said to me, "I don't know what you are doing, but whatever it is, give it up. God is knocking on your door and you have to open it, but you have to let him in. It doesn't matter where you go, no doctor or medicine will heal you like God will." Then she prayed over me. She prayed for me over the phone and invited me to the Easter production they had that week. So I promised her I would come and support her. I drove to X all the way from Papatoi. I knew it wasn't a good idea. I was on my way to the production, but I have to turn around. I got my son with Damien. Because of the pain was that pound again. So by God's grace, my brother was on his way home and had two spare seats available in his car that were normally occupied by his wife and a daughter. So he dropped us off that night at X, here at X. And as I walked through those doors, I felt something different. When I sat down, the next story was about to start. And it was about Malcolm's and his life about depressions. I don't even know who's Malcolm. But his story spoke right into my heart and cut me wide open. He went through depression, the same thing that I went through. I could stop crying. At that moment, the pain left and I could think clearly for a minute, something that I wasn't able to do for a while. God spoke to me and showed me that He was always there for me, that He is real and that He's the only one can hear me. The altar call came up, and I walked down in front of the stage with my son Damien and gave my life to Jesus. A year ago, I wasn't God's fan. But He looked down on me and He said, "I want that man." So much has changed in my life since I gave my life. For a start, on my 30th birthday last year, God gave me a new life and healed me from depressions. God put me on a journey last year and healed wounds that were open and to help me grow stronger in my walk as well as teaching me how to lead. I never would have been able to learn any of these skills if it wasn't our regular disciples I had with Pastor Richard. Every Wednesday, 1:30 p.m., keep knocking on his door. This week, I witnessed one of the brothers give his life to Jesus. It was through engagement that he was able to hear the truth about God and the power of discipleship. It was hard for me to attend church on a regular basis due to shift work. So having discipleship grounded me to keep me connected to the church. Something that I desperately needed in those 3 months of being a baby Christian, and I still need it. God prunes me. God has restored my relationship with Frissa. I loved her more than ever before. I cherish relationship with my son. He means the world to me. And none of this would have happened if God was not in it. I thank God every day for what He did for me on the cross. When He said, "It is finished," I truly believe He meant it. Thank you.
Is that precious? You might think it's just one man's story, but it's not. You see, every one of the PJs, the 77 on that video you're supposed to have seen, but every life that got touched. It's not just a life that's being saved. It's often a couple, a marriage, a family that's been rescued. And then out of that come children, and there's a family tree, and there's relatives, and there's cousins who want to know what happened. You see, it's not never just one life. It's always the family. It's always the connections and the friends, you see. That's why every life counts. Not just Polini Jr., but his family is being restored. And I'd like to invite Marissa and Damien if they would come down, because we have got some exciting family news this morning. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited to let you know that Polini Jr. popped the question and they're now engaged. I'm just letting you stay there because it's uncomfortable, right? That's how great God is. Father, I know you can see this. And this is just one story. This stage will be full of people. Not just the 77, but their family and friends and loved ones. This honors God. And what comes out of this will honor God. Amen. Would you like to say anything, Marissa? I know you weren't planning it, but I'll just let you say something.
I'm just so thankful for what God has done for me and my family. All the years, all the struggles that I've gone through as a single parent, and just what the restoration that he's had for my family has just been amazing. I don't think I would have had it any other way. So I just give all glory to God. Yeah. Thanks.
Before I invite them to take their seat, I want to honor Marissa because the counsel she received from us was, if he's not going to leave the house, you need to leave the house. Make it uncomfortable. It's not acceptable to continue in sin. And Pelini Jr., who didn't go, I don't know whether you're mad at me, Pelini. The funny thing is, he lives in my house right now. He's our fifth son. I've got to honor Marissa, who chose to honor God above her own wishes and wants. She chose to honor God above even maybe what you might perceive the children need or what he wants. She chose to honor God above all. And I honor you, Marissa. When God is honored and he's first in your life, things start to happen and good things happen. And you see wholeness and restoration. Amen. God bless you. Take a seat, guys. Love you. Take care.